The following is a message given by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.
Well, pleasant morning, Grace Family Church, and it would be remiss of me if I don't say Happy New Year and good morning. To all who are listening on IGTV, Happy New Year to you as well. It's my delight to preach God's words to you today, so please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in your Bibles or find it on your devices. The title of my sermon is, How Then Should We Work This Year? This is a continuation of our series entitled, A Life Worth Living. Let's listen attentively to God's words to help us live truly in community and receive its associated benefits. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, reading from verse 4 through to the end. Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil. And his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king, who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. I saw all the living who move about under the sun, all with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely, this also is vanity and a striving after wind. You know, as we come to the beginning of a new year, one of the areas that people will have resolutions for is the subject of work. You know, some will say, listen, you know, I want a better work-life balance. When we think about the greater amount of time that they spend doing their job compared to the amount of time that they spend with their family and friends and even doing the things they enjoy. Others may say that they want to obtain a work promotion this year. Some will try to begin a side hustle to have additional streams of income or to start up their own business because it has the potential to increase their earning potential. And if we think about it, much of what we do as adults is really centered around work. Even in high school, we had to, as adolescents, you know, we had to choose subjects to help us prepare for the careers we believed we wanted to pursue. And our children are either, I guess they're either doing that or will soon. You know, most people spend more than 10 years of their lives studying to prepare for work. Some jobs are even more dangerous than others, but because of their earning potential and availability, people opt to do them. We sometimes have no choice but to travel overseas or to take long journeys because of work. We sometimes work with people we would not want to be in community with because of our jobs. I see some shaking her head. Much of the stress, interpersonal and mental challenges we have often come at work. So with all that said about work, does Ecclesiastes 4 present us with any more principles that can help us approach work in our society? Well, I believe the big picture our text suggests is that we can enjoy the rewards of working together in community through not being envious and having contentment by managing our desires. Let me say that again. We can enjoy the rewards of working together in community through not being envious and having contentment by managing our desires. But society tells us a different story. Dog eat dog. It's cutthroat. Listen, where we'll enjoy a better life by making the most money at the expense of others, including our friends and family. It tells us that we need to get the right degrees and read the right books to be successful and understand the world. It says we can make a long-lasting mark on the world if we spend our lives trying to do so. It tells us it tells us to want everything and to know everything. We should strive to know everything. That's what it tells us. However, our preacher, who's the most qualified person, having basically accomplished those goals, and he says no. And wisely, he's pointing us to the fact that we can enjoy the rewards of working together in community through not being envious and having contentment by managing our desires. In our text, I believe the preacher is showing us that the simplistic way that we think and approach work in our society is a farce, and that we will have to make a few amendments or adjustments to enjoy the benefits that God has intended from it. Now, the preacher has previously said in Ecclesiastes that work is a gift to enjoy, and that it is also heaven. So, altogether, I will highlight two main points from the text regarding working in this rat race and discuss ways and benefits the preacher has outlined to help us to navigate this space. They are as follows. One, working enviously in verses 4 through to 6, and I'm going to do 3 hours. And the second main point is working isolatedly, or if you want to say in isolation, in verses 7 through to 16. And I'm going to give you 7 no's All right, so let's start. So main point one, working enviously. In verse 4, it says, and the first one under the three R's, the first one is reason for those who are taking notes. It says, then I saw that all toil and all skill and work comes from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Now, the preacher has addressed oppression in verses 1 to 3, which Joel tackled a few weeks ago. And in verse 4 to 6, he's now saying envy. I don't know if you're seeing the progression. Oppression is not a good thing. Envy. So I wonder what's going to come after this. But let's focus on 4 to 6 here. So he's addressing envy. He's still demonstrating that wickedness exists in the world. So he begins in verse 4 by exaggerating that all toil and skill come from us being jealous of others. Now, if we are honest, I think we'd agree with Solomon that generally one of the motivators to work in our society is because we envy what others have or do. For example, we have many programs in the media highlighting the rich and the famous and what they have or do. And, you know, I think the reason there is a great demand for these is that greed, to an extent, is a desire that most people have. And you know what? Greed and envy, you know what they do? They work hand in hand. GFC, don't we try to make where we live nicer than those around us? Don't we sometimes try to make us or our children succeed in academics and sports more than our peers? Don't we sometimes compete with our friends unknowingly to them? Do we really rejoice when our friends succeed? For example, if our friend purchases an extremely nice car, marries an extremely good-looking spouse, becomes a top executive, and starts making a lot of money per month, how would we feel deep down? Envious? Would we feel that we deserve that too, or feel bad about ourselves? Do we feel sad when they fail? Or does knowing that helps us to feel better about ourselves? I see some people saying, I'm glad some of you are honest. But yeah, you know, you start feeling better about yourself, including your achievements. Sometimes when you hear bad things happen to your friends. Yet, as believers, we know that shouldn't be the case. As, you know, we don't have to go further than the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, where the Lord has instructed us to not covet your neighbor's spouse and possessions. And if you want to jump over in the New Testament, you know, in Colossians 3, verse 23, it says that we should work as unto the Lord and not for men. So our motivation for work then should be to please the Lord while we're providing for ourselves and our families. Thus, we may need to repent. I'm glad that Joel said he wants a time to pray after. We may need to repent from the envy we sometimes have that propels us to work. Let's go to number two. So we have three R's. The second one is the ruin in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, the fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Proverbs 6, verses 10 through to 11 speaks about folding hands to rest, likely referring to laziness. Therefore, the fool stops working. Moreover, if we push on the metaphor a bit, if he eats his own flesh, he may be nourished, but he will be in pain and now lacks parts of the flesh that he ate, right? So it's like he's sabotaging himself. They think they're doing something profitable, but, you know, profitable by, I guess, by not being in the rat race, but, you know, their idleness regarding work is actually harmful, and it is ruining them. Also, could it be that because he doesn't want anyone ahead of him through his labors, out of possible envy, that he chooses not to work and be idle and goes down this destructive path? You know, GFC, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Therefore, our comfort culture with its Netflix binging, online gaming, hours of Candy Crush or Farmville, scrolling Instagram reels and Facebook posts, fantasy sports, you know, self-indulgent Amazon sprees and foodie culture addiction, along with just procrastination of tasks and idle laziness, that is ruining us and not allowing us to care for others and doing the good works which God has called us to do. So basically, we need to choose the appropriate time for leisure, as Americans would say, leisure, or else it will ruin us. Let's go to the third R, the restlessness, in verse 6. In verse 6 it says, "Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind." So picture it, one handful versus two hands full. So he's contrasting doing what? Like doing twice the amount of work. Basically, he's talking about overworking. Overworking. So he's contrasting overworking with this one handful, which is basically being in quietness, peace, calmness, tranquility, right? So you have this. So this overwork and restlessness, including the kind of hustle ideology, is the extreme opposite of verses 5, idle laziness, including comfort culture. It's like Solomon knew our day, and he takes a jab at our hustle ideology, where we're pursuing a future version of ourselves by becoming, as Corey Brock and Andrew Kelly say, tougher, harder, more successful, more complete through relentless self-improvement. Just consider the numerous and the ongoing demand for productivity books, along with the growing popularity of 5K running events in Jamaica and elsewhere. This feeds this, or the hustle ideology. Therefore, Solomon advocates that if we are going to expend all of our energies seeking success in our work, it will be unfulfilling. It will be more of a task of futility. And so we might as well not go through that ordeal and just enjoy work with quietness. This is the solution to not overworking or idleness, which you can, I'm sure both of you can see the extremes. Overworking, lazy idleness. This is the middle ground. It's the solution. Carolyn Mahaney and Nicole Whitaker suggest you will get more out of life if you learn to make do with less, referring to contentment in this passage. Jeremiah Burroughs says, a Christian comes to contentment, quietness, not so much by way of addition as by way of subtraction. Not by adding more to his condition, but rather by subtracting from his desires. Some of you want to say blasphemy. But subtracting from his desires so as to make his desires and circumstances even and equal. Wow. Nicole Mahaney and Nicole Whitaker note that quietness is being satisfied with the food and drink, the family and friends, the home and the work that God has given us, instead of straining our hearts and bending our backs trying to get more. Rather than working hard to get what our hearts desire, we work hard to bring our desires down to what we already have. GFC, oh, how I need this reminder, as I often live for tomorrow and not today. I think I'll have more times for the things that truly matter in the future. But that's not necessarily so. Moreover, tomorrow isn't promised to anyone. We don't need to look too far. We can think of all the persons who did not make it to 2023. So we ought to make the best of what we have now. For instance, concerning spending, and I'm talking to myself, concerning me, and I think for 2023, I need to spend more time with my kids and my wife and doing more fun activities. This is an area I am going to work on in 2023. You can figure out what you want to work on, right? But having addressed the negative consequences of working enviously and how to mitigate that in our first point, let's go on to our second point, which is working isolatedly, or as I said, working in isolation, which is we're going to cover in verses 7 through to the end. All right, so this is the first of my 7 no's. I know I said no, I mean like no. When you said no, like no, no, N-O. All right, so the first one, no inheritor. Verses 7 through to 8. In verse 7 through to 8, it says, again I saw vanity under the sun. No person has no... Wait. I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil. And his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Now, if you don't have a successor or an inheritor, then who benefits from your toil? I want you to think about that. You know, at the time, a son or brother would likely continue the business if someone, you know, if something happened to the owner who was toiling for riches. You know, he's depriving himself of pleasure that he could probably get through spending time with family and friends in community and doing the things he loves. So the question is, what's the purpose? Well, Jesse, can't we spend our entire adult life toiling for earthly success and riches like him? Is it that we, like him, are trying to prove things to ourselves that we can build our own kingdom? Moreover, we have so many examples of very wealthy people who are not satisfied with their success, even after they have attained a lot of riches. Some commit suicide. You know, as husbands and fathers, we often run the risk of, you know, just overworking and isolation that Solomon warns against as we feel the burden of being the main providers in the home. Now, you know, while, you know, some of the main provide, well, I guess the main providers typically are men, but certainly some women are the main providers in their households. And, you know, it's interesting, in our Jamaican economy, you know, many husbands and wives do work in order to provide for their families. This doesn't necessarily happen everywhere else, but certainly it happens in our economy. And as such, I also want women to take heed to this warning as well. On the other hand, we know of numerous examples of people who haven't gotten the successes and riches they have sought in this life after overworking and isolating themselves from others, which has made them very disappointed and angry. So, GFC, why are we following in their footsteps? Now, in the next four verses, which is verses 9 through to 12, Solomon he's actually going to list four benefits that people who work in isolation forego. In other words, these are four benefits that those who work together will receive. You understand? Okay. You know, it's also important to know that he will be using a regular ancient Near Eastern, A-N-E. So if you hear me say A-N-E, I'm referring to ancient Near Eastern story of two business partners that are going on a trip to demonstrate this. So, all right, so I had addressed first the no inheritor, and I did say I have seven no's. So the second one is no multiplication in verse 9. In verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. You know, it's definitely affirmed that partnerships tend to be more profitable than sole proprietors. Also, that married couples tend to do better financially than singles. However, in our example of the two business partners in the A&E, it would indicate that no multiplication of efforts occurs when one is in isolation. Hence, or in other words, it's highlighting the need for community. You know, Carolyn and Nicole say partnership leads to profit. But it isn't primarily financial profit Solomon is talking about here. Instead, he points our attention once again to the good things in life, enjoying God's blessings with and doing good for others. The profit is in the camaraderie, the mutual support, the encouragement, and benefit we can give one another along life's journey. The gain is not on the far side of work, but in doing the work side by side. All right, so we come to our third no, which is no assistance in verse 10. In verse 10, it says, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if one of these business partners fall into a ditch or a pit, wouldn't they need some assistance, especially if it occurs at night? Thus, an isolated person could actually die from having no assistance in those circumstances. We need community. Let's go on to our fourth no. No support. Verse 11. In verse 11 it says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? No, boy, this one is something else. In the A&E, these two business partners, men, would sleep close enough to each other to keep themselves warm. Now, while this is something that would be frowned upon in our Jamaican culture, we have to understand that men are more affectionate than they're more affectionate to others in other cultures. Without anything behind that. You hear what I'm just saying? Without anything behind that. I want you to hear that. As such, someone who is isolated wouldn't benefit from sharing body heat on a cold night. So they wouldn't have no support, comfort, and so forth. Thus, again, showing the importance of community. So, you know, I come to my fifth no, which is no protection, in verse 12. In verse 12 it says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A three-fold cord is not quickly broken. Again, in the A&E, one could be robbed on their journey and left for dead. And we know that. Just reflect on the Good Samaritan. Remember, that's exactly what happened to the Good Samaritan. He's going on his journey. They robbed him, left him for dead. So as a means of protection, the more persons that you have traveling with you would be the safer that you would be. So, three persons are better than two. And certainly better than one person, eh? Showing again the value and the need for community. So, we would have covered five no's so far, and we would have just also covered the four benefits which Solomon mentioned from verses 9 through to 12. All right, so we have two more to go. So let's jump to verse 13. In verse 13, we come to an interesting story, and actually what we're going to see, and this is our sixth no, in verse 13 is no listening. We come to an interesting story where there are two kings, and the wise king is a youth, and the foolish one is old. Which, you know, that seems kind of counterintuitive, eh? Because, you know, people tend to gain wisdom as they grow older. Tend, operative word, tend. But guess what? Why do you think the old king is foolish? Well, the old king does not listen to advice. And thus he's likely ruling alone. He is isolated. And the second king, who's young, he succeeds this first king who was old. So, that would be no listening, which is our sixth no. And then we come to our last no, our seventh, which is no remembrance, which we'll tackle in verses 14 through to 16. So now, the story unfolds that the second king, he grew up poor and even was in prison at a point. As you hear this story, you're probably thinking about, it probably reminds you of the wise Joseph in Genesis, eh? Because Joseph also left from being in a prison to rule alongside Pharaoh in Egypt. However, like Joseph, this wise second king ruled over a countless number of people. But guess what happened? Years later, the people forget what he did and no one would rejoice about what he did. Similar to what happened with Joseph. So there was no remembrance. So Solomon looks at this and he sees it and you know what he says? These hevel. Again, another task of futility. You know, GFC, we can be a wise leader like Joseph in Egypt, but forgotten. I want you to think about that, because many of us were striving in our jobs and we think we're all this wonderful leader and all this kind of stuff. And the reality is, look on this. This person ruled over countless number of people. He was wise. He had all this going for him. And when people don't remember, ouch. So we can be a wise leader like, yeah, Joseph in Egypt, but forgotten. No, that doesn't mean that people may not have benefited from our advice, our work, and our wisdom. However, that's how living under the sun or how this hevel life is. As such, we shouldn't necessarily live hoping to be remembered or making a name for ourselves. I hear many of you are saying, oh, Shalom, come on, man, this is 2023. Come on, tell me this here. In fact, we can be wise, often taking advice from people, live and work in community, and still come to realize that all our efforts have not produced the success we desire. Ouch. Thus, you know, I think we should just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and be content with whatever blessings God choose to send or not send our way. So we work as unto the Lord and leave the rest to him. You know, as we consider isolation, it is important to remember that Jesus suffered and died alone on Calvary's cross, where he was abandoned by God the Father and the people, including the children of Israel, including the 12 disciples. In Jesus' death, he defeated sin and death so that we might be in right relationship with God. And through his death, we have community. We have the body of Christ. Because of Jesus' work, we also have a local church, which is the local community that we belong to. Moreover, God has placed us in many different communities based on our, whether it be our school, our work, our families and friends, and you can just add in a blank. So we can do good works that God has called us to do in our various communities, including church, once we are in proper alignment and seeking to honor Christ. You know, altogether, my sermon today demonstrated that, listen, we can enjoy the rewards of working together in community through not being envious and having contentment by managing our desires. In a society that tells us to focus on me and not we, for the new year, it is good to hear this challenge from Solomon to work in community with contentment and not envy. We need more voices to challenge the prevailing individualism and self-serving agendas that undermine community. In fact, one of our goals as a Christian community should be to work together in caring for others and promoting camaraderie with others so we can experience God's blessings from that community. Thank you. Amen.
You have just listened to a message by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.